Last week, I hope you recall that we began a three-part series, and that series was called Barriers to Faith. What causes people to leave the church? What causes people to stay away from the church altogether in the first place? One of the causes of these we explored last week. It's the age-old question, how could God, a loving God, allow suffering in this world? And today we're going to look at another of one of the prime reasons that many people are turned off by the church. And the reason is us. Us. They see us in life. They see us in the church. And they see many who are hypocrites. And it turns them off, and there's this loud accusation, Christians are hypocrites. And that accusation also serves as a dandy excuse to stay away from church. I've used it in my past. It's interesting that the person who does not go to church because it's filled with hypocrites will go other places also filled with just as many hypocrites. I think we know what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite, by definition, is someone who pretends to be something that they are not. Or a person who pretends to feel something that they do not feel. The word originated in Greek drama because the actors on the stage in the Greek drama wore masks. And those masks were to portray the characters that they were trying to embody. So you can see where this is going. Today we would say a hypocrite is a person who is not who they say they are, a person who does not feel what they say they feel, and a person who wears masks to cover all that up. It could be a politician, especially one caught in lies and scandals, if that were to ever happen. It could be a soap opera star. It could be a car salesman. It could be your next-door neighbor. But when you research the history of the word hypocrite, you discover something that's very sad. The most common application is that it refers to religious people. Someone who pretends to be better than they are. Someone who claims to believe in certain virtues and exercise moral authority only to become a politician or a soap opera or a car salesman or your next door neighbor or a church member. Let's note this. There are hypocrites and there are hypocrites. We don't have a word to differentiate between the two. Some people are big fakes. It is a lifestyle. They live a lie deliberately. Capital H, hypocrite. But not everyone is that blatant with their hypocrisy. Surely not every Christian lives a double life. If there is a word to differentiate, to differentiate, it probably would be the word hypocrisy. I would not say that all Christians are hypocrites, but I would say that all Christians can be hypocritical, including yours truly. You see, one of the main reasons that we appear hypocritical at times is the issue of surrender. Sometimes we do not let Christ take control of every portion of our lives. We do not surrender all, as the song says. And that is when we transgress into hypocrisy. And others may see that, and they may be repulsed by it, and they may push us away and stay away from the church. But other Christians may look at us and they may be convicted by our hypocrisy, because they know that they don't surrender all to Jesus Christ either, and they do not want to join an organization where they might be exposed. Now, some of those who are viewed by outsiders as being hypocrites in the church might not really be hypocrites at all. Instead, they might simply be immature Christians. Now, let's face it. Every Christian begins this journey as a babe in Christ. But some never grow up. They remain a babe. That rush of joy that they felt when they first gave their lives to Jesus Christ fades, and they don't move more deeply into the faith. Why do you think Paul wrote such strong letters to the early churches? It was because of their spiritual immaturity. It was not their fault. They needed teaching. They needed encouragement. They needed to be taught how to live this life in Christ and how to grow in spiritual maturity. They needed more than that. They needed to surrender. Surrender to Him, our Lord. And of course, that applies to each of us. Some of us mature in Christ slowly, some of us mature in Christ more rapidly, but no one matures completely into the image of Christ on this side of heaven. So, the church is filled with hypocrites. No surprise there. But hopefully it is filled with seekers who are constantly trying to grow spiritually and to learn to walk on their own as followers of Jesus Christ. Where are you in that process? I think we can all identify with Dwight L. Moody, who said this: "I've had more trouble with myself than with any other man I've ever met." And someone else said this: "I know I am experiencing a fresh touch of God when I stop confessing everyone else's sins and start confessing my own sins." Now, both of those sentences came from the lips of men who were growing in maturity in Jesus Christ and who knew that they were sinners. And they knew that they could be hypocritical in their faith, but they knew that they needed to grow spiritually and to surrender to the authority of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Were there hypocrites in the Bible? Yes. Now, when someone says to you that the church is filled with hypocrites, you might remind them that that's not a new phenomenon. I mean, the Pharisees, for goodness sakes, were famous for their pious hypocrisy, and Jesus let them have it. In Matthew 23, he said to them, "Woe to you!" 7 times. Woe! 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 Whoa, whoa, and then he added, "You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell?" Wow, Jesus hated hypocrisy among religious people more than anybody. That's a wake-up call. But isn't it interesting that he invited Judas Iscariot to be part of his inner circle? He knew that Judas was a hypocrite. He knew that Judas was the keeper of the money bag and was dipping into it. And yet Jesus showed his love even to Judas. And he shows his love to you even in your hypocrisy. You may have head knowledge of Jesus Christ that would rival Einstein and still be a hypocrite, or still be hypocritical. You may be so committed to the Christian faith that you become a pastor and still be hypocritical. Sadly, I think more pastors have turned people away from the church than laymen. I'm glad you didn't say amen. And I know that televangelists have turned more people away from the church than pastors. It is no wonder that people look at us and they say, hypocrisy. It's so blatantly visible. But let's don't focus as much on the people we may have turned off as we focus on cleaning up our act. We should truly desire to do that without anybody placing a guilt trip on us. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, "The Lord knows those who are His." The Lord knows those who are His. Are you a child of God? Yes. Is He your Father? Yes. Every child wants their father to be proud of them. And God wants that for you too. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy," it's right there in the list, "envy and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up." So that you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. I love that scripture. That's positive motivation for us to want to clean up our act to the best of our ability. Maybe, however, some of you need some negative motivation. So in that case, Jesus said that there is a place in hell for hypocrites. And He said that in Matthew 24:51. All of that is enough to make me want to work on my own sins of hypocrisy. And I hope the same is true of you. But here is a scripture that's really scary to me. I'm reading from Isaiah 29, beginning in verse 13. These are words that Jesus Himself repeated in the Gospel of Matthew. The Lord says, "These people come near to Me with their mouth and honor Me with their lips, but their hearts are far from Me." Why does that scare me? Because it is so easy to do. And it's right where you and I live. It's so easy for some people, like me, RB, to stand up here before you and lead you in worship and lead you in singing and preach God's word and just go through the motions. It's also scary because having sat for decades where you are, it's so easy for you to just go through the motions. Continuing that scripture, Isaiah 29, "Their worship of Me is made up of rules taught by men. Therefore, once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, 'Who sees us? Who will know?' God knows. If you ever come into His presence with your heart far away from Him and just go through the motions, He knows. He knows. He knows. Hypocrisy may fit like a glove for some people, it's a lifestyle, but for most of us in the church, nothing could be further from the truth. Like many things that are forbidden fruit to us, we feel awful when we realize and we wrestle with this sin of hypocrisy. Now, when you get a headache, you might take a pill. When your body is tired and aching, you might take a nap to relieve that feeling. And when you feel yourself uncomfortable with your hypocrisy in the church, you might search for a remedy for that feeling too. And the remedy that many people select is this: to make excuses. The excuse that is most common is to think or feel or even say, everybody else is doing it. Or not doing it, depending on the application at the moment. For instance, other people read the bulletin during the prayers or the special music or some other time in the service when they know they're supposed to be focusing on God. So it's okay. Or other people don't give God 10% of everything. So it's okay. Or other people don't gather for worship except on special occasions like Easter and Christmas. So it must be okay. What do you think? Other churches allow folks to bring coffee and food into the sanctuary. Other people, other churches, everyone else, birds fly over the rainbow. Why, oh, why can't I? You understand what I'm saying. It's easy to have a heart far from God and to give the impression that you are sincerely worshiping Him, especially when other people are doing it. But, are you the one they are watching that gives them an excuse to do it or not do it? Let me ask this. Is it okay to be just a little hypocritical in our walk with the Lord? After all, you may profess that you do not conceive to deceive other people. You are not a diehard hypocrite. Your deceptions are small. They're little. They don't really harm anybody. Well, what does God have to say about that in His Word? He simply says this: all sin is sin. James 2:10, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. That's why we need a Savior. Billy Graham said this: a sin is any thought or action that falls short of God's will. God is perfect, and anything we do that falls short of His perfection is sin. So I guess that pretty much answers the question about having just a little hypocrisy. Let's move on. We know the problem. What should we do with the hypocrisy that is within us? The first step is to recognize that it is there. Recognize that it exists. That's a big step for a lot of people. You won't even hear what I'm about to say next because you just can't even take that step yet. Recognize it, brothers and sisters. And the next step is to hate the hypocrisy in yourself as much as you hate it in other people. And realize that you cannot go to a regular doctor and take a pill that's going to take care of your hypocrisy. It's far more complicated than that, because your mind and your attitudes and your spirit and your relationship with God itself is all involved. You need a great physician. And He has three prescriptions for us. First, Jesus is the great ophthalmologist. He said in Luke 6:39, take that plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly. Let's put it another way. Jesus said, start with yourself instead of working on other people. His second prescription was in verse 46, and he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say? Put it another way. Jesus says, why do you talk, and call me Lord, Lord, and you don't walk, and obey? Work on your heart. And his third prescription is in verse 49. And he starts by giving one of the best illustrations that he gives in the Bible. A man who builds his house on the sand rather than on the rock. You know that story. And put another way, Jesus said, it is stupid to ignore what I'm teaching you. I love that. It is stupid. That should be in the Bible. It is stupid to ignore what I am teaching you. And there are consequences for being stupid. That's what Jesus said. Three prescriptions. Begin with yourself. Look into your own heart and weigh the consequences of your own sins. All three are very sobering. Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And what is the Lord's will? To love Him with all your heart and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know what? If we just did that, it would clean up a lot of the hypocrisy in the church and in the world. And finally, allow God's Holy Spirit to wash you inside and outside. You know what? Allowing the Holy Spirit to wash you and clean up your act could change the hypocrisy in the church and in the world. Someone said hypocrisy is prejudice with a halo. I don't think I would like to join a church like that either. Would you? Let's pray. Lord God, search us and know us. Try us and see if there be any wicked way in us. And lead us in the way everlasting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.